This is the Echo Network.
Kelly's Westport Inn presents the Royalman Report with Casey Royalman.
He's an important member of the sports atmosphere in Kansas City.
Michael Engel.
We're already off the rails.
Jeff Kerr.
Back to baseball. I'm just trying to get baseball.
Assistant general manager of the Royals, you work hand in hand with scouting and player development, and of course you work up there with Peyton Morin. I actually ran into JJ at the team store of all places, looking at possibly picking up some polo shirts, and JJ agreed to come on. We had a nice conversation, and he agreed to come on. We're going to talk about some of what we talked about then. And let's start off with some easy. JJ, what is the expectation that the Royals have for the Royals this year? Stay right where you, something you mentioned there, are starting pitching. I know you don't do player acquisition, that's not necessarily your job, but maybe you can answer this for us or give us some insight. But there's been a lot of talk about Roy Oswalt and Twitter again. You know, he's saying 9-game, wait until midseason to come play. I know they met with the Royals once. Can you give us any insight into why the Royals were not able to sign Oswalt? I mean, I'm assuming it's both sides, but can you give us any insight to what's going on there between the Royals and Oswalt?
Thank you. The young pitchers that we had at the Royals have and in the organization and the whole first wave coming up and everything. And you and Dayton and the entire organization has done a great job building this up. And this question will kind of shift gears, talk a little bit more about you. There were some open GM positions that came open this past offseason or this current offseason. Did anybody reach out to you and ask for an interview? Is that something that you're interested in looking at in the future? Do you want to be a GM somewhere? Is that something that's in your future? JJ, the Kansas City media has spent a lot of time in the last couple of weeks talking about Alex Gordon's contract. You signed him to a one-year extension, and you have control of him for the next 2 years. How critical do you see an extension for Gordon, a long-term extension, to happen in the next month? And if that doesn't get done, what do you see the timeline being for an extension for Alex Gordon? Storylines for the offseason was the new CBA and the recent Baseball America recently reported some of the spending bonus pools that are available for the first 10 picks of the amateur draft. The Royals last year, you guys spent over $11 million in those first 10 rounds. This year, you're going to have just over $6 million, according to the report. How do you see that impacting your decision making in the draft process?
Change. We need our picks, but that will have an impact on our philosophy. and it's going to cost us draft picks. But it is an evolving process for us, an evolving theory that we're going to have, because really, truly, until we get to the end of May, we really won't know what's in this draft class. I mean, we have an idea that the findability has become more clear at that point, and that's when we'll really solidify how we're going to go about the draft. So it is going to be different.
Now, one great thing about your job is you're going to work with all of these great kids, and we've got a lot of them. You know, there's Devonta Starling, Adair Hernandez. Who are you really looking at this year and surprised? Who do you really expect that is going to surprise some people?
I think we have a couple candidates that really need to have breakout years, guys that are very good prospects that had so-so years last year. One guy that comes to mind is Brett Eidner, outfielder in Kane County last year. He was a high pick two drafts ago. Was hampered by some injury last year. But when we started looking at the next wave of position players that we'll expect to be in Kansas City and potentially replace some of the guys that are there, Brett Eidner is a big piece for us. Chris Dwyer, the pitcher, was in AA and AAA last year. Chris Dwyer, Jake Odorizzi, Mike Montgomery, Will Smith, and I think we would call them breakout candidates, but they need to solidify themselves as potential starters for us, not only this year, but certainly for next year and years coming. So I don't know if you put them in a breakout category, but Chris Dwyer is a guy coming to mind because he had a good second half last year. We need to have a good year from start to finish this year, so we feel better about counting on him in the rotation. There's a lot of young guys down low. I don't know if it's breakout, but it's more taking the next step. A guy like Chesler Carpenter, who had a very good year last year, doing at a higher level this coming year. Some of the young shortstops we have in the system. Orlando Calixte is one that comes to mind. He's a very, very gifted kid that had a solid but not great year in Kane County, but we have more offensive expectations out of him than what we saw last year. And Humberto Arriaga, shortstop in Arizona last year, excellent defensive player and offensively, gaining some strength. Looks like a different kid right now than 2 years ago for sure. I think we'll see some offensive games with him as well. He's a name that will pop in our top 10 and our top 15 more frequently, and our fans will know a little bit more about him as well. There's a lot. I don't know what direction you want to go with this. There's a handful of them that we put in that category.
Yeah, and then we're talking with J.J. Piccolo here, assistant general manager of the Kansas City Royals here on the Royal Man Report. You can listen to RoyalManReport.com. He's got a few more minutes with Mr. Piccolo. And J.J., you mentioned some of the people that need to have big years, and when you said that, the first name that came to mind for me was Mike Montgomery, and he kind of struggled a little bit last year. When you're talking with Mike and the coaches from Omaha last year, what were some of the struggles that Montgomery went through that he was having issues with, and what do you, how do you feel about the changes he's made and what kind of year he can have in 2012?
Last year, when we were breaking spring training, he really had such a good spring training that our expectations kind of jumped up a notch. We thought he might be up mid-May, June 1, and with good reason. And he turned out well in spring training. Now, whatever happened between the end of spring training and around that time, mid-May or June 1, just got away from his delivery a little bit. And there's some feeling that maybe he was just trying to pitch to be effective and wasn't going after it the way he had before. But in that process, we thought his delivery got a little bit out of sync. Lost a lot of videotape with him, showing the pitch from spring training the past year. There was certainly some differences. Mike's made a couple changes this offseason that will hopefully correct the things that weren't going so well last year. But when you just look overall, the number one thing Mike has to do is command the strike zone better with his fastball. He's got a better spinning changeup. His curveball continually gets better. But until you get ahead of hitters, something that we knew he'd have to make an adjustment to, because he had a double-A, triple-A, and certainly the big leagues. He throw a ball a little bit outside, it's probably ball one. Those hitters are good enough to recognize that and not swing. And in triple-A last year, he fell behind in the count a lot and couldn't get to the secondary stuff and put people away the way he had in the past. So I think we looked at last year as a big learning experience for Mike. He's got a great attitude coming into spring training. He then made some minor adjustments. I don't think the average fan who has seen Mike will notice anything that great of a difference, but I think the effects will be that he'll throw more strikes, and then he'll get to the secondary stuff and strike out more guys and walk less. And as we all know, the best pitchers in the game don't allow guys to get on base, and that's the type of jump I'm going to see Mike make this year.
We got time for two more questions with JJ McCullough of the Royals. JJ, what is the role of the assistant manager during spring training? Do you do evaluations, contracts? You know, it's Oscar night. Do you throw popcorn at the television if Mike Ball doesn't win the best picture? What do you get to do at spring training? Tell us a little bit about you. A typical day at spring training for the assistant general manager of the Royals. Come off the bench and hit a good fastball, because that's what you're going to see late in the game.
those closers with the good fastballs, and that was something we feel very good about in Andy Heskey. And when Milwaukee chose not to pick up his option, it was pretty clear to us he was the best of the group of players that were available to fit both roles, push and hit a fastball off the bench, and he did a good job. And I know you think take a beating a little bit in Kansas City, from the time that we first acquired him. But when you really break it down, he was a starting shortstop for 5 or 6 years. With last year being our playoff team in Milwaukee, and to have somebody like that coming off of our bench, I don't know if we could have gotten a better utility player to fit what we consider our top needs in the offseason. So we were happy that he was willing to take that role. He'll obviously compete. He's an established major leader. He'll compete. He'll put some pressure on Escobar, on Gabatel, on Nets, because he's an established major league player, and that's where the competition will make us greater. So it made a lot of sense to us, and it's always a certain amount, and this is what our conversation was about. There's only so many guys that are available, and when you look at the pool of available players, truly available players, maybe those in the top for us must go off and chose not to pick up this contract.
Well, thank you so much, JJ, for coming on with us today. We're going to go and let you get back to work or enjoy your evening. Thanks again for coming on. This is the Roman Report. We were joined by JJ Piccolo today. JJ, thank you very much, and we'll be in touch soon. And go Royals.
Troy, what are you doing this weekend?
I'm going to grab a beer somewhere. What do you have in mind?
I heard about this awesome new bar downtown. It's called Rage. The waitresses have a contest to see who has the most piercing.
Oh, man, that's not really my scene.
Well, there's another bar close by called Spit Cup. Check it out. The bartenders wear chaps, and every hour they shoot a guy.
No, seriously, I just want a bar where I can sit down and watch the game.
Okay, I've got just the place. It's called Lilac. You sit on pillows, drink from eucalyptus leaves.
No, Ned, but I just want a place where I can get a cheap drink and watch the football game.
Okay, I got it. This place, it's got a TV. It's called 816.
Libidotosis.
Yep.
All their drinks come in NBA hats.
Man, I just want a place like Kelly's.
Oh, you mean Kelly's Westport Inn? No, they've got all the basketball and bowl game. They've even got a heated roof. The view is really nice, too, if you know what I'm saying. Why didn't you just say you wanted to go to Kelly's?
Kelly's Westport Inn, 500 Westport Road. Make it your place to go any time of the week. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you. Goes live this week and had some troubles. We'll
fans. God bless them. They've got 150 different sports sites, but they're having some troubles right now. And yeah, we're navigating to new servers. So Kings of Coffin has been a little bumpy this week, but after this week, it should be good. Sometimes I feel like I'm killing Mike about the fans I did in the time. I was like, I'm really not trying just to write on this day, but they are nice. They didn't consult with me on our guest schedule when they were going to spin us. So I would not have allowed them to do server work during the JJ Piccolo interview. Otherwise, but obviously, you found the show. You got through iTunes, Stitcher, you know, the website, and it'll be available on Kings of Compliment once the finished product is edited down. So we had a little drop in the break there. It was about some fantasy baseball. We hear some people like to play that. So it's going to be on ESPN. There will be a Roman Report League. It will star myself, Mike Engel, Jeff Herr, and Cam. Are you in or are you out?
Yeah, I'm
in. And Cam, so
I have a live draft, too.
We're going to do a monthly for sure. I'm going to do two because I know there's some of you that live up in Toronto and California and wherever else. So I know if a lot of you guys that live away would like to do a non-live draft league, just give me a roadmanreport@gmail.com, and I'll see if these guys want to do that. Secondly, I definitely will put one together for you that will have at least me in it. But the important one is there's going to be a live draft the same day as a live show, which is also going to be, God bless us, I'm going to back that store part two. Actually, that would be better if your subject line reads burrito and a bra. I know you're real. Wow. So, burrito and a bra, that's the subject line. I know you're real, and I know you're out. I need your email. I'll send you an email. And by the way, from ESPN, it will be a head-to-head burrito league. Is that cool?
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't like head-to-head, but it's. But I get it better than points. I sack down on points. Give me that.
I get into that argument again.
Mike and I had some feistiness between us trying to decide how this league was going to be ruled. And I like points. He likes Roto. I said, well, what if we did Roto head to head? And he said, we may get there the day of the thing and decide the whole thing for Roto. So, anyways, it's going to be on the 24th. It's probably going to be earlier in the afternoon on that, so you can bring your kid or whatever, have lunch at Joe's. And the 21. So far this year, is how's the attitude of the players that have arrived? I guess everybody's there, so how's everybody's attitude there? Some of those guys were there at the beginning of the month when, you know, the actual official start date for even, you know, position players was like yesterday or just recently. And that seems, is that pretty accurate? Is that kind of like something that was decided as a group among the players, or is it just everybody individually has managed to just make it down there early?
follow you on Twitter. And by the way, if you don't, you should. It's at Goldberg KC. You've mentioned some tweets about just kind of some things you noticed in the first week or so. And I noticed you tweet about Felipe Paulino and how people keep writing about how all his side sessions and batting practice work is there too. So, you know, maybe can you expound on that a little bit? I know it's only been a week, but just, you know, Felipe Paulino and anybody else that's kind of impressed slightly that's maybe picking up some chatter for everybody there on spring training.
Within the team, all the way from the top to the bottom, and that's why Yuni was brought in, is because he's going to help with that competition even at the utility level. And they're coming into the major league season with the top 25 players on the team. That will be the 25 man roster, whereas in years before they haven't always done that. Years past, we've seen competition taken to a level within the players where Frenchie said that they'll compete amongst themselves with like one contest and any sort of craziness like that. In this first week, are you already seeing those competitions flaring up?
Job of making it enjoyable for players to do the mundane things.
choice of which question you want to answer. And the question about who's going to be in the starting rotation, or we've got somebody in our chat room asking us to ask a hockey question. I don't have a hockey question, so if you just want to answer a random hockey question, or you can answer who's going to be in the starting rotation, it's going to be your choice.
What constitutes offsides in hockey? There's a hockey question.
So that would be that to us.
Actually comes into our next question that we had from the chat room about Mendoza. I mean, what do you think about him? I know he's a little bit older than you'd like, came in last year, had a couple of good starts, but then again, Kyle Davies had some good starts in September of his career too. So question being, do you really get the feeling that Mendoza can break camp with this team? And if so, is that even the starting rotation? Is that, I mean, should we really be preparing ourselves for Luis Mendoza as a starter? I mean, if I base off of what I saw last year, maybe it doesn't worry me a ton, just because I know he was pitcher of the year, I believe.
He was the pitcher of the year in Pacific Coast.
Yeah.
I don't know. My hesitation is that he's never been successful in the big leagues, and last year was the main, you know, he didn't really strike a lot of people out. He didn't, it wasn't like he didn't walk people. You know, I don't know how much luck there was last year in Omaha. And how it's going to translate this year. That's my concern.
And whenever you see someone who, you know, whenever they're 28 years old and they still had made a huge impact on the majors, you wonder, you know, why hasn't it happened yet? And that kind of gets you bothered too. So, you know, that's kind of my perspective, but we just worry you want to see what he does in that role.
Right, of course. And I'm not comparing it to, but I think when he was 29, following his year where he had like a 6 or 7 plus ERA, it was that kind of a Myers with Cleveland. I'm not by any stretch of the imagination suggesting he's part of the tour of pitchers,
although we'd love that.
I mean, obviously, that happens. And look at what happened to Phil Umber last year. He was one of the better pitchers for the White Sox. I don't know the answer, guys, but what I do know is this. He was a Pacific Coast pitcher, as you mentioned. I don't think they're in a situation at this point where maybe in the past they had to force the issue. I don't think they have to force the issue. I think that if Luis Mendoza is in this rotation, it's because he earned a spot in the rotation by Nelson pushing injury and things like that. And the other thing is, and this just kind of stuck with me last year, is when he came up and he pitched those two big games and he got started playing in September. But Jeff Montgomery and our broadcast partner said to me, he pitched him different than he was when we saw him up here in the past. And the ball was down, he's lower. Yesterday, he made some changes with his arm angle a little bit, made some delivery adjustments, and then he saw success with it. So I don't know if it's going to translate or not. I'd like to find out.
were talking with Joel Goldberg on the Royal Man Report, and on Friday we were talking with Jeff Montgomery, since he brings him up, and one of the things that FakeNet asked him about was something about Joel Goldberg that nobody would ever guess, and he suggested you might have butter fingers. Is that the case, or is that is Monty calling out leg there? Signs of maturity. Give us a little insight into the new and improved Billy Butler, the new and improved Country Breakfast.
Well, you know, I'm not impressed with me the most. And I don't know if he's still, you know, eating those breakfasts or not. I saw him eating some yogurt today. If we could actually get it to, you know, a food report for him, he's always going to be a bigger guy. And that was part of the report that ever popped on him. He's always going to be a bigger guy. It's not like he's going to go.
The astronaut comment by Ned has said that's all kind of gone away. I heard that interview with him. Also, they were replaying on 810 this morning, and it does sound like he's in a better place right now. And I wonder if that was ever completely addressed, and you know, things are cool now between the manager and his feelings at DH.
I think that he wanted to.
term, guys, I believe it's Husker and Sandy. I'll be correct if I was wrong, but yeah, they said, man, it's great to hear Joel Goldberg, and they listen to you all day, and I think everybody's just so hungry for baseball at this point. And on the flip side, listening more to Joel Goldberg, are you still going to be doing the Hot Stove Show with 810?
Yes.
Yeah, I think people believe it. This 2004 was just weird, especially in hindsight.
Absolutely. I mean, people were pretty, I remember going in 2004, they were predicting the Royals to actually win the Central, and it was just kind of like, this is, it just didn't feel quite right, but we were still hoping for the best.
No community.
I mean, I'm a huge Chiefs fan. This is the first time in my life that I can legitimately say I've been way more excited about the Royals than I am the Chiefs, and that's attitude going on in the city, so I definitely think this is different. It's more different than I've ever felt my entire life. So. That he was rooting for, and he just, what did he say? What did he ask that? Was he?
That's KU in a nutshell, and you got two guys with Kansas shirts on, and I still have tears in the corner of my eyes from last night. So, segment. We don't go just a solid hour anymore. Like,
time, but poor Jeff, he came in, he's kind of the four people around here. Well, I appreciate that, Joe. Thank you. Hey, Joe, you know my email. Did my email get lost? Where's my invite on the Hot Stove Show? You know, they call it ThinkNet Hot Stove. You got class that close to
right.
If you've missed the Rambling Morons podcast lately, you've missed this.
I got all this talent and I can't make it work. Hey, you didn't follow me on Twitter. I just did. You did?
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Hey, Nick, you're a big-nosed idiot. You know what I mean? You got to be able to handle it.
So you are a big-nosed idiot.
Fair enough.
Like, alcohol is so...
Are you stoned right now?
No.
Okay. Kevin Keatsman. Great at what he does, man. I shouldn't say this because it'll piss people off. Or I should say this because it'll get people going.
Bob Fresco.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about a diva. This guy pitches from the second he walks in until the second he leaves. I'm honestly surprised he doesn't wear makeup on the show.
My job is not an easy job, but it's not a hard job either, but it's a simple job.
I've met Danny. He could not possibly get a job on his own.
Catch the entire interview with Nick Wright only at ramblingmorons.com.
They can't even fathom. They'll show up via a Google search and not knowing for sure why they're doing it.
So, yeah, apparently Mike McCartney did that in one take. And he's freaking awesome.
That was awesome.
So does anybody else call the Royals telephone number just to listen to their whole, so that you can listen to Mike once in a while? Because I think that's what I had asked.
Rest one, two, three. Now let's call that.
Yes, it's dumb.
7:05.
Oh, that was a good call for him.
Right. So I was surprised he's done.
saved the show a little for 2021. He's got about 160 followers. Get what's 300 followers, though. But yeah, can you guys help me make that happen for him? If you're listening to this show, you need to go right now to Twitter. Follow Little Frenchie 21. Pretty much breaking news here. Video proof of a little bit of a hard foul, I would say, by T Rob there.
Yeah, of course.
Well, better.